Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello, Egg Chasers. This is the Egg Chasers Rugby Podcast, a podcast about rugby that doesn't take itself or the game too seriously. And this is a midweek domestic podcast, our famed MWDP, as we look ahead to a brand new Premiership season. Feels like only a few weeks it's a weird season. JB, how are you doing?
Very well, thank you. I am stoked for this new season. It feels like, well, a few weeks since the last one.
Yeah, I know. And Phil in the Egg Chasers TMO shipping container, how are you?
Hello, very good. Yeah, I am looking forward to the new season, albeit, as you've both said, it does seem to have snuck up on us from just a few weeks ago.
It's coming on quick, right?
Real quick. It comes around quicker every year, doesn't it?
Every year. I wonder if this is what it feels like to be a French domestic rugby fan.
you're probably not wrong, actually, because their season finishes, what, late June?
Yeah.
And then season starts again late July, early August.
Perfect. Couldn't be more perfect.
Well, for that reason, a lot of the stuff you would normally look at to preview a new season, new signings, coaching changes and all the rest of it, a lot of that has happened. So we don't have that to talk about so much, but this is an unusual season, partly for the reasons you just mentioned there, and the fact there's going to be a lot of international rugby. Some teams will be affected more or less. So why don't Phil, you just tell us how the table finished last season, and we'll, as we go through, we'll just sort of identify who we think might end up finishing significantly higher or significantly lower, perhaps.
Okay. So if I go through the table from top to bottom, and then if we start at the bottom and work our way back up. So obviously, Exeter Chiefs topped the table and were crowned champions. Wasps finished in second, Bristol third, Bath fourth. Sale just lost out, obviously, because of their COVID issues. Quins were sixth, Gloucester seventh, Northampton eighth, then Worcester, London Irish, Leicester, and of course Saracens, despite winning 13 games, were relegated because of their multiple infractions and penalty deductions because of their salary cap issues. And obviously, replacing Saracens, Newcastle Falcons will be coming up, having won the championship last year, albeit a curtailed championship season last year.
So pretty much like for like then with Saracens and Newcastle.
Well, they're both playing black.
Yeah, that is true.
There you go. So
And on a plastic pitch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can anyone make sense of this table, which I've got in front of me? Newcastle Falcons, Worcester Warriors, Leicester Tigers, Wasps, Bristol Bears, Bath Rugby, Sale Sharks, Harlequins, Northampton, Gloucester Rugby, Exeter and London Irish. This is the table that they've given me on Ultimate Rugby. Now, it's not alphabetic from what I can see.
You are dyslexic, but you're nevertheless correct.
I'm staring at this table, I'm thinking, it's not the first name, it's not the second name. What would make Newcastle be top of the table, followed by Worcester, followed by Leicester, followed by Wasps?
And it's not even north to south it's in the country, because Sale aren't second.
Maybe it is.
Sale aren't second, though, are they?
No. Yeah.
Oh, no, Sale aren't second. I should know that.
And it's not east to west. I don't know. It just looks totally random.
That sounds like it's someone remembering the 12 teams and typing them out as they go.
But who remembers Newcastle Falcons first? Dean Richards. Dean Richards type this out.
Even Dean Richards would put Leicester first.
I don't know what Ultimate Rugby are playing here. That's a very confusing table.
I think if there's a year for someone who hasn't been a perennial winner or perennial finalist to make it into a playoffs final, potentially win, it's this season. And I just can't look past Sale to be the best set to succeed in this particular season. They always have done well in after World Cups. They used to go 6th and then 11th, 6th, 10th, 5th,
yep,
9th. And the times that they do well is after, it has been historically after World Cups.
Do you know why you think that, Tim?
Because it's true.
No, because you know a lot about rugby, and you are absolutely right. Sale Sharks, I think this year will be a very, very good team.
Well, who are they losing for a significant length of time, particularly with South Africa not playing any matches? Yeah. Well, makes a massive difference.
Yeah, that's a good point, actually. Well, obviously Manu's not there, and that's it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And when I was looking through all of the signings and departures this season, looking at the teams who had the most stability, there's a lot of instability right throughout the league, a lot of big departures across the board, partly because of the prolonged season last year, partly because of the salary cuts across the board and the reduced salary cap. But Sale have had very, very few losses and only a handful of new players. So they've got a really, really stable squad.
And two new players.
Like you say,
And two new players today.
Two new players today? I've missed that.
Yeah, they've got a brand new Dupree and they have got...
Another
Dupree, non-related, but I don't believe that. and Dimes says, quote, an international.
Yeah, and also, you must remember, last season, Lou Diaga hardly played because he was injured a lot.
Yeah, Lou will be... And
Cobus Visa.
Who's a monster, by the way.
He's a beast of a...
Interesting on Sale Sharks' extra signing there. Time says he is a international. Now, I am not one to question the judgment of Mr. Diamond in any way, shape or form. Quite the contrary, actually. But I remember back in the day when they lost Danny Cipriani before it was possible to afford all of these other players. And he claimed that another international was going to be coming in at fly half. And who was he referring to? Rodri... What was his name? The lad who played at Wasps.
Rodri...
You know the guy I mean.
I don't... Scottish
fly half played...
Rory Jackson.
That's it.
Yeah.
And in the end, they did get international. AJ McGinty with his two caps for USA.
Yeah.
So let's check who Spain's fly half is, or Spain's outside centre. And
I think you might miss the boat there, Tim. I think didn't Sale FC sign the Spanish fly half to last year?
Might be.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah. It could be like an Argentinian. There's a few of them on the market.
I would say, if I was to have a wild random guess, it would be a Russian player. Because Dimes knows that market and has magically got two great players from Russia. So it wouldn't surprise me if it's someone like a Russian or a Moldovan, something like that.
So if Sale do not get top four in this season, I might say it. Dimes might have had his time if he can't get top four this season.
Well,
he's not going to go because he's so embedded. But I mean, with the squad that he has assembled, it is abject failure if they're not top four.
They will be top four.
Yeah, I think they will be. That's exactly what I'm saying.
So I agree with you, Tim. Dimes should go if they don't get top four this year. Albeit, I said that last year, and he's still around and. I think they will see last season as an enormous failure for them to get top four.
Mm. Yeah, but you can't really... I mean, that was a very unusual situation. They play one more game against Worcester.
No, they had it in their control. You don't leave... As you've said yourself, you don't leave it to chance. That's your mantra.
Well, yes, but don't leave it to pandemic planning either. That's what I would say.
There was lots of games that they should have won right throughout the season. Like... Quinn's, I can't remember if it was home or away, Quinn's one of the first games back after the pandemic, and or after rugby restarted. Winnable game. They should have won it. Had they won it, they would have succeeded.
They shouldn't. They shouldn't have gone and
similar ones.
Yeah, they shouldn't have gone and done naked mud wrestling in Manchester University halls.
They should not have done that. They should not have done that.
Joke. Obviously.
Well, that is a joke. Otherwise, they'd all be interned in the student hall still.
Yeah, they'd all be barricaded in by the fencing that Manchester University had put up.
Once you get into Manchester University, there's no way out.
So, right. So, Sale, I could. I wouldn't be surprised if they finished top of the table in the regular season. Exeter, do you think that they can just carry on? Now we've got guys like... We've got Stuart Hogg, who won't be available to them for much of the season. Jack Knoll, when he's fit, maybe Luke Cowan-Dickey, when he's fit. Johnny Hill, now, as you say.
But, I mean, it could be... It could
Henry
that could,
Slade.
That could go to many others. Yeah, Henry Slade. It could be Devoto next. You know, fingers crossed, we said it this week, it could be Steenson.
He's retired.
Yeah. I mean, the Simmons boys, you never know. You never know. So they could be affected by a call-up stuff. Right,
they'll be fine. They'll be fine.
I have no doubt about it. After... speaking to Rob Baxter, I now feel that not only are they fine, they're probably invincible. And I really think that. I can't see them going backwards.
In a lot of ways, you can imagine this being... might be able to look back in 2 years' time and go, that was the best thing that could have happened for Exeter, is look at those players that have now emerged. Hodge, for example, the fullback, who didn't really get a lot of game time, the youngster that came in... Hinkley, that guy they signed from Gloucester in the back row as well. There's a few really promising young guys that you could imagine might end up having big seasons. So I think they'll be fine. So if those are two of our top four, who do we see making the top four out of the other sides? Can Wasps repeat the feat?
I don't know about Wasps. I mean,
I think so.
I'd like to think they can. I mean, they play such exciting, interesting rugby, and their story is so interesting. I just don't know if they've got what it takes to... Well, actually, I do know if they've got what it takes, because they are playing with this year's squad. They played with last year's end of season is this year's squad, and it's a good squad. I wonder how they react when they are tested by a lot of injuries. But there again, they did have a lot of injuries, and they were fine. I don't know. The answer is with Wasps. I think they're a complete enigma. I don't know how they've gone.
I mean, Wasps lost, what was it, 8 players for the Premiership final, and... pushed Exeter incredibly close.
It's a great point.
I think Wasps will be absolutely fine. I think they will have some ups and downs.
Stop there.
With some injuries, call up some form. But I think Wasps will do very well, and I'd be disappointed in them if they didn't achieve top four.
Have you seen that Eddie has released Jack Willis from the England squad?
Yes, I have.
Well done on your debut. See you later. He's done that before, though, hasn't he? I think it was pointed out he did it with Tom Curry after his debut.
Did he?
Yeah, apparently so.
I mean, it makes me look a bit like a fool now, saying I don't think Jack Willis will ever be moved from that shirt, and he's moved from it pretty much immediately. So, yeah, that's bad. I got no idea. Maybe, I don't know. I mean, look, Tom Curry is an excellent, excellent player. So...
Well, you'd have to imagine that he is going to be one of the players that will be involved in international rugby, but there won't be that many. Joe Launchbury?
Yeah, that is... Yeah, you're probably right there. It depends how... No, you are right.
Minozzi for the Six Nations and the Autumn.
So, Minozzi, does he get the weekend off?
Yeah, I don't know what the deal is there, but anyway, he'll miss some of the games, certainly, because
the Fiji game's off now, isn't it? Italy-Fiji.
Yes.
So does Minozzi come home to play for Wasps is basically what I'm thinking.
Oh, right, that's an interesting point. But, well, who knows about this weekend, but generally speaking, Wasps won't miss many. So I think I might go with you, Phil, that I think they could repeat the feat.
Yeah.
It's one of those, it wouldn't surprise you if the sort of emotional toil and all the energy and the crest of a wave that they were riding getting crushed means that there's a little hangover from it.
This can go one of two ways, can't it? Either they have been together for longer and they learn more from Lee Blackett and they improve, which is definitely a possibility, or the army of analysts and head coaches wanting to beat Wasps catch up with whatever it is, whatever witchcraftery that they are up to, and come up with a suitable solution for them. And I don't know which way it'll go. I hope it goes in the former, but I've got a feeling it might be the latter.
I'm feeling more of the former, just because from everything I hear and read and about Lee Blackett, and every time I listen to him, he seems like a very forward-thinking and intelligent coach. And if someone finds something that counteracts some of the things that they do, like their aggressive defence and their ability to turn over the ball and then play from turnovers, I'm sure he will find something else that his charges can be adapted to. So I think Wasps, I'm happy to go on record as saying I'm confident that Wasps will get top four this year.
Okay, so if it were Sale, Exeter and Wasps in whatever order, who are the contenders, the serious contenders that you think for fourth place?
Bath would be my go-to.
Bath and Bristol.
Bristol, yeah. I prefer Bristol, actually, than Bath.
I prefer personally. Bristol's coaching. I prefer Bath's players.
Yeah, but this comes down to the thing for Bath, that Bath have perennially underperformed compared to their available talent. I mean, they've always consistently had one of the best, not the best squad in the league, just purely based on talent. Consistently, going back years, going back to Mike Ford's reign when he had Ford, Eastman, Joseph, Burgess.
Burgess, now that's a player.
Yeah. Lowe, he had Carl Ferns at his disposal.
Exactly.
He had Watson. All of this talent.
All the boys.
Faletau at his disposal.
Francois Lowe.
Yeah, just. But they've repeatedly failed to extract everything that they can do.
And they are going to get. So Will Stewart is not going to be available to them. Tom Dunn potentially, although you could see him being the third choice and therefore not being actually being available quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
And then you go Sam Underhill, Talupe Faletau, Jonathan Joseph, Anthony Watson. Quite a few key cogs in that side will miss large chunks of the season.
Yeah, but their real key players will probably hang around. So I thought Ben Spencer was marvellous towards the end of the season. I like their pack in general. Their pack is big and strong, and that's basically everything which I look for in a team. Like, if they can get this together, and I think they can actually, because after the absolute disaster, which would be the Todd Blackadder years, and I do think it was a disaster given the amount of toys that he had to play with.
Such a lovely man.
He is a lovely man.
Such a lovely
man. But, like, how far does that take you? Well, it didn't take you to the playoffs.
He never won Super Rugby with Crusaders.
He never won Super Rugby with Crusaders. We could take it in turns every year and win. Super Rugby with the Crusaders.
Absolutely, we could.
Whereas, but just compare that to Bristol, and who are they going to be missing? Like regularly, Callum Sheedy, maybe.
Sheedy,
maybe, yeah.
They're two loanees,
Ben Earl and Mallins. Yeah, but they're only borderline, aren't they?
Yeah, you're right. They're on the fence. Other than that, Sinclair, they will be missing.
Yes, that's a fair point.
Yes, everyone that bought in, really.
Yeah, and the one thing that... Bristol went and won a trophy this season and got into the playoffs. So it is an incredibly successful season. I do still think they have... In a balanced thing, if you were assembling a squad, and we're going to have to assemble our squads for Fantasy Rugby Draft. Our draft is tomorrow night.
It is. Oh, what time is that?
7:30. Sorry, mate.
Yes.
We all agreed it ages ago.
You did.
So our draft is tomorrow. We're going to have to assemble a squad. I just think, I can't help thinking Bristol are slightly imbalanced. Like, for example, if you get say Piatow and Randrandra are injured, that's £2 million of your...
Yeah, that's
your budget.
It's a lot of money, isn't it? It's a lot
of
money.
They just slot in Piers O'Connor and Max Malins and away you go.
Yeah.
I mean, Piatow didn't play in the final. He didn't play for the last few weeks because he was injured. Malins was scoring 50-yard tries for fun.
It's a fair point.
Albeit, you can do it in one-off games if you have to play significant portions of the season without £2 million worth of player.
So Phil,
two of the best players in the world.
Absolutely.
It's going to take its toll.
So who's making it into your top four then? Because are there any... Well, because you can't discount other teams, so there's no disrespect to Gloucester fans and Harlequins fans and Northampton fans.
Saints might be the other one for me.
I notice you are showing some disrespect to Leicester fans by not listening.
I am at this moment in time. We can get onto them shortly. But
yeah, we'll do the bottom half of the table later, won't we?
So, but if you had to pick a fourth team for a top four, Phil, what are you saying?
Bristol.
Okay.
Bristol for me.
Exeter, Sale, Wasps and Bristol in one order or another. Okay, yeah, no, I think I might go with you on that. I could see Bath getting in there, maybe at the expense of Wasps. Yeah.
I think Bath, personally.
Or Bristol.
Do you know what might be a little bit of a help for both Wasps and Bristol? The final is going to... Well, more rugby is going to be played in more dry weather.
Yep.
That's a fair point.
So... perhaps that does fall into Bristol and Wasps' hands, whereas Sale and Bath love it when it gets... I mean, they can play fast rugby, but let's be honest, they do like to beat people up.
They can mix it up a lot more.
Yeah, and I wonder if that might also help...
Northampton,
yes.
Ooh, yeah. But then I thought that at the start of the rugby restart when you were playing in, whenever it was, June, July... And Northampton were just awful.
Yeah.
They just could not bring together the talent that they have and that was working for them so well in large patches of the previous season. So I don't know what to make of Northampton at all.
So my theory...
There feels like there's something fundamentally wrong there and I have no idea what it is.
The scrum.
Yeah, the scrum is rubbish.
The scrum is absolutely...
It's garbage.
It is dreadful. And we've talked about it before, but psychologically I think that sends ripples through the entire side.
Yeah, you're absolutely right on the scrum. I also think that they got their post-lockdown or restart, whatever the hell it's called, their selection style wrong by going 1A and 1B rather than A and B.
Yeah.
They had bad matchups and they never really recovered after the first few games. And then once they're out of it, they just didn't care. And then Courtney Laws goes down and then what's the point? So,
But on the flip side, they only really miss Laws and Bigger.
Yeah, but I mean, that's your 10, and that's your... Well, he's not the captain, actually.
Ludlam is for this season. Oh, no, no.
But that's another guy who's been called up for the England squad. So it might be Ludlam and Laws.
God, the back row is stacked!
Yeah. So that might be a guy that, you know, does get called up. I like Saints. I think Saints will do well. I think they've had a little bit of a blip, and with a bit of luck, they're going to need to correct that. They've got so many classy players.
They do.
Here's another one for you, though, where they're going to struggle. It's getting over that gain line because everything is going out the back and they're trying to use Hutchinson and who's the other classy centre that they've got?
Proctor.
Dingwell
or Proctor.
Yeah.
And actually, that doesn't work so well. If you can't get over the gain line, don't give it to your boys in the back line.
Big T off first phase. They need him in the side, confident and running off first phase.
You'd hope so, wouldn't you? I do think that makes a huge difference because he might be their best gain line carrier.
Yeah, or even just the threat of Nairavoro.
Yeah.
And would there be something in the Mathieu Bastereau style move to number 8 for Nairavoro?
Oh, I love it.
Could that solve some of their problems? Because they've got a good back row, but Harrison or Ludlam, who can play 8, they're not exactly huge.
Do you know who was quite good for Northampton? I wonder if he could end up being a starting 8, is Aidendorf.
Oh, yeah. So,
yeah,
he's an interesting fella, because he's basically in the Last Chance Saloon now for professional rugby. He's come over, and I think this is it. Not the Last Chance Saloon for professional rugby, but of seriously big club. So if he's going to do it, it will be this year. And he does look good. I mean, he has some skills. He's got some pace, too.
Yeah. So, but I love your thinking there. That would be an interesting shout. It's just Nairavoro is, his confidence was shot to bits, wasn't it?
Yeah, and you don't want that from your 8. You don't want like a slightly hesitant 8 fumbling around at the back of a scrum.
That's true.
The guy for me who tells you everything you need to know about Northampton is Tamona Harrison. When Tamona Harrison is playing well,
start of last season.
Yeah. They play well.
He was one of the best. He was probably best player in the Premiership in the first 2 months.
Yeah, he's not. He's a weird character because he. If you think, how can I explain this in a way that makes any sense whatsoever?
For one thing, I don't. He eats eggs and minced beef for his pre-match meal every game.
Of course he does. Animal.
That's why. That's
animal.
Why he got the nickname Mince.
Oh, really?
Well, yeah. Either that or it's something that's less. Less friendly that he's thick as, but I don't think he is.
Okay,
I don't think that's where the name comes from, though.
No, I doubt it. And if it was, they wouldn't call him that.
No,
I
see. Wouldn't. He's a top bloke.
Yeah. So yeah. When you watch him, if he's not having he needs other players around him to do the hard work so he can go out there and do the carrying. And if he's getting manhandled, which sometimes does happen, then Northampton go backwards. If he's on the front foot, Northampton are great. When he's not. They fall to pieces. So you just have to watch his performance, and whatever he does will give you an indication of how Saints will go.
Does that not come back to scrum again?
Scrum.
Oh, that's definitely. Exactly,
yeah.
Scrum is a problem for them. But, you know, in open play, I think he's the linchpin.
They've got two blooming World Cup winners in their squad. The Franks boys, they're just...
Yeah, something wrong there, isn't there? I'd love to know what the malfunction is, because they definitely can't scrimmage, and I know this firsthand from players that scrimmage against them.
I was going to say, I know this firsthand, you know.
So actually, that's a good point. I don't know firsthand, do I? I know this secondhand.
they've only got one of the Franks boys now, haven't they?
Oh, yeah, of course.
The other one's at London Irish, but they have got the better Franks.
Hold on. Is he London Irish? Franks. No. They've got them both. He was at London Irish, then he went to the Saints.
Is he not back at
Irish? Well, one of them might have retired, but they did have them both.
I will find out for you momentarily.
I'm just looking it up.
Yeah. Oh, no, that's Piers Francis. Owen Franks is there.
Owen Franks is definitely there.
I'm starting to get this bloody noise again.
Maybe the other Frank has retired.
Indeed.
Yes. Well, whatever's happened, it's fine. Whatever.
Who have we not talked about that was around that mid part of the table, Harlequins?
I have no love for Harlequins. I just don't. I just don't. I don't know why. I don't like their setup. I don't like
what
the coaching.
Wild animals in training.
Yeah.
How can you not love that?
Well, you know, I sort of feel that Paul Gustard is a guy who's doing an impression of a defence coach now, rather than being a defence coach.
Oh, director of rugby or head coach, you mean?
No, defence coach. I think he's still doing all... He's doing his best impression of a Saracens coach. And I kind of... He feels a bit lost when I see him on TV and all the rest of it. So I have... Yeah, it's very... When he talks, it does strike me as a man who wants to give off a persona, and I wish he would stop it and just be the guy he is. Because he talks about empowering players and this, that, and the other, and you can almost feel the anger inside him, and you just want him to want him to shake it off and just go wild.
Okay, I'm going to play devil's advocate here. Just in the back line alone, if everyone's fit and available, Danny Kerr, Marcus Smith, now Andre Esterhazen, who is a new signing, gives him a bit of direction. Joe Marchant, who missed a lot of last season, is now back.
Yep.
Chris Ashton, Mike Brown, Nathan Earle, that's a pretty good backline.
Yeah, I mean, everyone's got a good backline when they're all fit and healthy. It is a good backline. Is it substantially better than, I don't know, anyone who would be finishing ahead of them?
I guess the point I'm making is they've got effectively two new guys who appeared at the end of last season, but Esterhazen and Marchant being back, that could glue a lot together. And they're kind of a big direct man and someone who's got gas on the outside break. And I think that could not, I don't know about transform Harlequins, but I think it could it could unlock quite a few teams.
Well, I guess it's all going to hinge on how creative they are with what they want to do. So Esterhazen to me is the sort of player I like. He's 6 foot something,
6 foot 4 and 110 kg centre. Yeah,
love that. Love all that stuff. That is great. On the other hand, they've also got James Lang, who's a great player, but he's a very different player at 12. You know, you've got like a second playmaker, very, very, very speedy, quite strong. Obviously, not an Esterhazen. I wonder which way they go with it all, or will they just pick the right, you know, the correct team for the correct games? Will they game plan it out? And by the way, they've still got Benny Tapps, who for a few seasons was absolutely excellent at Bath.
And if they want a like-for-like replacement for Esterhazen, they've got Lisicki as well.
Yeah.
Yes, that's a good point.
Another very big, powerful, direct player. I'm not worried about their backline. I think, like, it's in their backline on its day will be class. I'm a bit more worried about the steel in their pack, particularly through their second row, and even their back row besides Dombrandt. I'm just not sure it's...
Well, Skinner's good. Skinner is a genuinely good seven.
James Chisholm's,
not Skinner.
James Chisholm's a real solid premiership player, but I know what you're saying. Evans, Will Evans.
Evans, thank you. Skinner.
Evans, Evans is a good, solid fetcher. I just...
It's when you get down the depth chart pack, as well, isn't it?
Yeah, I look at that pack and I just wonder where the quality performances are going to come from. I mean, losing Sinclair is pretty massive because he's a Lion in the absolute peak of his career, albeit this season if he was playing for England. Less important. Losing Robshaw is also pretty big.
One.
And they've also got other players coming to the end of their careers who are still good quality premiership players like Kerr, like Brown. But how much longer can they keep putting in quality performances? So I'm a little bit worried about the Quinn squad overall.
Yeah.
So you think they'll be bottom half of the table?
Definitely bottom half. Okay. I think they'll be lucky to get top eight in my mind.
There's five teams we've not mentioned so far. Newcastle, Leicester, Worcester, London Irish and Gloucester. And of those, Gloucester would be the logical next one to talk about when you look at how the league table finished last season. Do you see Gloucester improving on where they were, which was very much middling?
They might go up, they might go down, they'll definitely be middling. So I think mid-table is
not. You mean it's not Gloucester's year? Are we calling it?
I don't think it is.
Is this year Gloucester's year?
I mean, what can you do when you spend all of your money on wingers? It's not particularly good business. They had two exceptional locks. I mean, they do have two good locks at the moment. Ed Slater and Marcel Garvey. Marcel Garvey doesn't play lock, does he? Does Marcel Garvey play lock?
No.
And Garvey. Who are two tremendous club locks, but they can't do it on their own. And to let Groblaw go and to let Mostart go and not to have a replacement of some...
But you can never
caliber.
Have... Who cares about winning the ball and setting a platform and set piece? You can never have too many wingers, JB.
That is very, very true. Wingers to Gloucester are what 13s are to England.
Yeah, it's like the way Gloucester have sort of gone about sorting their squad out is how I imagine... A Real Madrid chairman would assemble a team if he was just coming over to rugby.
It's almost like a fan has signed all of the players. That's almost what it's like. But I don't know.
Or it's like someone's signing it, and maybe maybe Gloucester have just played too much fantasy rugby draft, and they go, "Oh, locks aren't worth anything."
Exactly.
Wingers are where it's at. They're where all the points are.
You've got a point there. Gloucester rugby would be great at fantasy rugby draft.
They would.
I mean, if you just had you got Ackerman for his carrying, you got all those those wingers, you got Atkinson. Yes. So they have got some tremendous players. Their backs look particularly sharp.
They need Willie Hines to come and help Sippers through it, doesn't he? Because Sippers looks as such a better player when Willie Hines is in the team.
Yes, quite.
Yeah.
And I don't know where... Well, yes. He is desperately needed. If I was a Gloucester player, I think that they'd be very, very nervous about Danny Cipriani having an off day, because when he has an off day, it completely falls to pieces. And I'm not sure that they're going to revolutionise their game away from Danny Cipriani, because it strikes me as if he, under the previous coaches, had his way, and then might have had his way in the appointment with the new coaches. Mm-hmm. So I can't really see them saying to Danny, no, it's not. We're not going to do what you want. And one of the biggest problems for Gloucester is they've became predictable. So we knew that they were going to run up a little pod of three, and that's how the forwards were going to try and get over the gain line. And when the time was ready, they'd pass it to Atkinson, who would pull it out the back to Sippers. We know all this because we've seen it, and it's old hat now. And as things get older and as the opposition study your game, you get less effective. And I think that's, broadly speaking, where Gloucester is, but with a worse team.
So here's... Yeah, go on, Phil.
I'm just going to say, you mentioned some of the weaknesses in their forwards, or weaknesses compared to when they had Mostart and Grobler in their pack, certainly. They're likely to lose Paledri for a long period of time.
Yeah, good shout.
A pretty bad knee injury. And there's a good chance that for the majority of the season, instead of having Johnny May, Lewis Rees-Sammet and Ollie Thorley in the back three, you could have Matt Banahan, Charlie Sharples, uh-huh. and Woodward, which is, I mean, Woodward's still a class player, but it's not quite as dynamic as it, and exciting as the former options.
And I can't help thinking, and JB, you already touched on it, we said they've bought all the wingers. It's like Johnny May, they've brought him home, and there's a romanticism with that one, but let's also look at it and go, Henry Purdy has been great for Bristol, and they just let him go.
Yeah, bye.
And so they could, I'm sure they could have had Henry Purdy for you know, much, much less than they've got Johnny May for, and they could have invested that in one of their locks that they let go.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, they do have some pieces, and you never know how things are going to pan out. They might have a really good... they might have a really good season, and a couple of individuals might step up, because that often happens when you get rid of players. Particularly the players as the standard of the two South African locks that they've lost.
I do love...
But I don't know where it's coming from.
I do love Hansen, their hooker. He's so such a tough little...
Jamal Ford Robinson.
Yeah, I love him as well. Yeah. Friend of the pod, Jamal.
Yeah, that's where they're going to win it.
Yeah.
Jamal. A lot riding on Jamal's shoulders right now.
Yeah, a lot on Jamal's shoulders. So just to be clear, is this year Gloucester's year? Next year.
It's not this year, I'm afraid.
Next year. Yeah. Next year's Gloucester's next year. Definitely not, your next year next
calendar
year.
Year, definitely.
Next year.
Yeah, not this year.
Okay, fine. Right, we're down there in the bottom. We're down in the swamp.
Tigers territory.
Do you know, there was a poll among, I think, Leicester fans, which team do they think is going to be bottom of the table? And the Leicester fans said Leicester.
Wow. They've really embraced the being rubbish thing, haven't they? In person. So, this is like a four-way scrap, isn't it? Worcester, Falcons, Irish, Leicester.
Yeah.
And of those teams, I would say by far the best playing group is... How can I say by far?
Not probably. By far.
The best playing group is London Irish.
So I disagree. I think that the best names on the team sheet is London Irish, but I actually think the best all-round playing group is Worcester Warriors. I think London Irish have... they've got attracted a list of talent like Sean O'Brien and Waisaki Naholo and Loader and Curtis Rohner and Paddy Jackson and Nick Phipps, Rob Simmons, Sakopi Kepu.
Coleman.
Creevy as well.
Creevy, yes.
Yeah, they've got a lot of names in there. But I just don't think... Well, certainly I've not seen enough of them to say that they are a better playing group than Worcester, who I think had some really good quality before. I watched them a fair bit after the restart. I think they've got a really good group of players, good team spirit, and good intelligent coaching under Solomons, who every time I hear him... I like what he says.
But... Especially when he's talking litigation of rugby incidents.
Yes, absolutely.
Well, I semi-agree with you. I still stand by the best group of players is London Irish. I was about to follow that with the best team being Worcester, though.
Yes. So it would fall down on the definition of your playing group or group of players.
The most star-studded group.
All right. Imagine this, then, Phil. What we do is we line up all the squads against the wall, okay? And you have to pick, and I have to pick 15, you have to pick 15. We're not going to do this live, but I would suggest that the 15 that I pick would have more London Irish players in it than any other team.
So I would agree with that. They have more star power.
Yes. Yes, they have the best playing group. They're not the best team, best playing group. Although, maybe Leicester. Because you probably would start with
Leicester, because having said that there's no signings to talk of, Leicester held back a lot of their new faces. So who is there that we haven't really seen much of or nothing of? They've got that Italian centre Moroni, is it, or is he Argentinian?
Ooh, good question. Moroni, the Argentine, yeah.
Argentine. They've got an Argentine centre Moroni. They've got Van Wijk. The
Cobus
winger.
Van Wijk, who played for the Kings.
Jacko Van Wijk?
Cobus.
Oh, it is Cobus. Yeah, you're right.
Cobus Van Wijk, who played for my beloved Hurricanes for a bit last season.
He did.
And tell me about him.
He's a big, strong boy. He's quick.
He's rubbish, Jay. You don't want to draft him tomorrow night. It's fine.
Just to clarify, I don't want to draft him.
You definitely don't want to draft him, though. Okay. So, yeah, don't... Just
get that off.
They've got Muri Muravalu, who we saw a little tiny bit of. Nandolo, we saw a little bit of. And if he's fit and firing, he could be effective for them. So they've got an understudy for George Ford that isn't Zach Henry. They've got another fly half, a Diaz Borrio or something like that.
Cameron.
What's his name? I can't remember. I don't know much about him. Is he an Argentine as well?
Joaquin Diaz Bonilla from the Jaguares.
Mm. Yeah.
So yes, he is listed on Ultimate Rugby. But also, interestingly, listed on Ultimate Rugby, I don't know who this guy is, but he's bound to have a good year by just looking at stats. A young lad called Tom Croft, a young lad by the name of David Denton, and how about this guy, Kyle Eastman? He looks athletic.
So behind the scrum, I think Leicester are going to be a lot more effective than they have been. Up front, can they match up? Say it's the same stuff. You've got Gloucester, you've got Harlequins, and you've got Leicester. I'd all throw them in the same boat. In that sense.
The difference with Leicester compared to the others, all the others actually, is that all their money goes, well, not all their money, a lot of their money goes on England. So without Youngs and Ford, they are garbage.
Yeah, but not anymore. That is just it. I would say, I was just going through that Leicester side. I've never known a Leicester side to be so lacking in England players.
Yeah, but they only need...
I don't mean international players, I just mean English players.
Yeah, well, I mean, you've got other issues then, haven't you? You've got cultural issues, you've got, you know, does it feel like a Leicester team? What made the old Leicester teams really, really great? It's probably their core of English talent and that, you know, that
and
identity.
Leicester.
Yeah.
And Leicester talent. Yeah.
Yes, quite.
In the way that Exeter have a load of Devon born and raised lads that grew up together.
Yeah, and they seem to be going down the route of being a poor man's Sale. I mean, they can't just buy South Africans because we have them all. So
they have them all, you mean?
They have them all, of course, yes. So that's not something which they can do. They can't get second-rate Australians because they're London Irish. So it's hard to know where the future is for the Tigers. They take George Ford out of this. I mean, I know we've relitigated this so many times. What was he thinking going back there? I mean, honestly. Oh, by the way, Tom Brady, left wing.
Tom Brady, left wing. There you go. That's all. Everything solved.
Yeah. By the way,
Ultimate Rugby, you say? Good.
Ultimate Rugby, get your act together. This is an absolute disgrace. Absolute disgrace. So, yeah, I am very down on them. I think they probably won't win. And actually, let's see if they... Let's play a game. It's called Will Leicester Tigers Win a Game in the Next Few Weeks?
So let's... Will they win one before Christmas?
Hmm. So I'm just trying to find...
What is that? There's like three or four rounds of Premiership. Three rounds of Premiership games or four rounds of Premiership games, then we're into Europe?
Yes. So I am just looking here for their fixtures. I've got them. Wait for it. Hold up. They start at home against Gloucester. Oh, by the way, and their kit's disgusting. Their kit is actually disgusting. So they start at home against Gloucester. Gloucester win.
That's winnable.
That is winnable.
Oh, yeah. And this is going to be a great barometer. I don't think they will win it. If they do win it, I think Leicester Tigers fans cannot worry about relegation. If they don't win it, the next game becomes incredibly important already. Game two, and it's already all on the line.
Worcester away?
London Irish away. So that is dynamite. Week two, that is dynamite. Then it's an obligatory loss to Exeter. Some Challenge Cup, which no one cares about. And then they've got Newcastle away. So
that But you've just accidentally, inadvertently stumbled into another factor in this season. There's the international players, but there is also the fact that there's very little breaks in the season. So exactly as you said, three Premiership games straight into Europe. If you've got Challenge Cup, you might rest more players than if you were in the Champions Cup.
And do you know who they have either side of the Challenge Cup? Well, they've got Exeter, but I don't care which team Exeter put out. They're winning it. But then before that, it's London Irish. Straight after, it's Newcastle. So they're not going to get that rest because Newcastle will be going, we need to win this. And they'll be at home. Newcastle will put out a fully loaded team.
What is a Newcastle fully loaded team? I haven't really paid attention.
That, Tim, is a fantastic question.
I know Sinotti has left.
Yeah, let's talk about something else. And whilst Phil looks up what a full strength Newcastle Falcons team looks like.
What was the team they played against Ealing when they lost?
So they've played two games against Ealing.
They
lost the first one quite comprehensively, but they won the second one.
Okay.
I'm just looking it up. What I do know is that they've got the dynamic young English centre partnership of Toby Flood and Luther Burrell playing.
Oh, that's
12 and 13.
So is Hodgson back at 10?
Brett Conan has been playing.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Joel Hodgson has been on the bench.
Okay.
Wow. So that's quite a strong partnership. Centre partnership in 2010. I mean, dynamite.
I'm not so sure about Newcastle.
Mm.
No, it's a tricky one for them, isn't it?
They've got Mark Wilson and Will Welch in the back row. If they can be as good as they were when they were in the Premiership before.
Yeah, and Gary Graham.
Gary Graham.
Wow. They are, I mean, I think Newcastle...
Scotland's Gary Graham.
Yes.
Hang on. Yes, he is now, isn't he? Yeah.
Yes.
The Mr. Ben of rugby just shows up in a different international shirt every week. I guess we should talk very briefly about Newcastle then. In my mind, the favourites go down as things stand. I will say up with the caveat that I've not seen them play top-level rugby yet. Neither has anyone else. And we won't really know until they put the boots on and get into action. But... as things stand, I think Leicester will probably have a let-off because of Newcastle.
I think...
Again, potentially. Because they got that let-off 2 seasons ago.
I reckon what could possibly end up happening is... I don't think Leicester will finish bottom. But Leicester finish bottom and get away with it again because it's turned into a 13-team league and Ealing and Saracens come up.
Oh, God damn it.
I bet whatever happens, Leicester will not spend a year in the Championship.
I know. We just can't get rid of them. And bad teams, like, I don't want Leicester to go per se. I love the club. I think it's a great club. But I hate bad teams, and bad teams deserve to be punished.
Well, yeah, but not only that, the Northampton, Harlequins, there might be another example as well of teams who went down, hit reset, did the great reset in the Championship and then came back up and won the Premiership.
I think it'd do them a world of good. I think they would really get their identity back. They all go to all these rugby hinterlands. They'd win a lot of friends. It'd be great for them. But instead they're going to grimly hang on to the bottom of the table. I couldn't think of a worse situation for Leicester to find themselves in, really.
Mm. Who do you think is going to be bottom, Phil?
I tend to agree with that. This is a bad situation for Leicester. That until they have the closure of getting relegated, they're going to be perpetually near the bottom of the table and just sneaking wins, unless something totally different happens. And maybe Borthwick replacing Jordan Murphy, not as director of rugby, but as the lead man in terms of the rugby.
Borthwick to be gone
stuff.
By
maybe that is what they need. With this group of players, I'm not sure that it is.
I think from the bottom to the top, my gut feeling is it will be Newcastle.
Yeah.
Then Leicester or Worcester, then Leicester or Worcester, then Irish, then we're into top eight.
Okay, so of the bottom four, who is the team that you think is most likely to get out of the top? Get out of the bottom four? Who would
Worcester for me?
Irish for me.
I think if Irish all click, they could actually be a real good prospect.
Mm. And they've got their new stadium. They've got a new home ground now. They were nomads a little bit, and so I think the Brentford Stadium will give them a little bit of impetus and identity. Hopefully that those guys aren't just picking up the paychecks and they're all in for the cause. But let's talk about the fixtures then. The first round of fixtures coming up.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This weekend.
Yes, let's do it, because this will give us our first indication. Well, I say our first indication. Our first indication was last season. But our second first indication.
So remember, there's live games on BT Sport, of course.
Have they got the A-grade talent out this week?
No, so. I've said, do you know what, guys, just leave me till European weeks, then I'll get back involved then.
Oh, that's awkward. I was talking about Dave Flatman.
Sorry?
That's awkward. I was talking about Dave Flatman.
Yeah, that's what I said. Same with Dave Flatman as well.
Yeah. Tell you what, Flats. It would be awesome if we could get David Flatman on the podcast sometime. I don't think we could, because he's...
No, that will never happen.
He is too big.
He is too big. If you could swing that one, then you should...
That'd be a massive coup for us, wouldn't it?
It would be a huge... You should put it in... Yeah, but he's too busy doing all the Ultimate Nations Cup. But if you can, you should just chuck it in the Egg Chasers feed...
Well, I mean, let's not count our chickens before they hatch, because I can't see it myself. Too busy, too important. But if we could, I'll definitely put it on the Egg Chasers feed.
All right, okay. Don't hold your breath, though. So we've got two games on Friday night, right?
Yes, we have. And I might even be able to go to one of these games, amazingly.
Really?
Press, mate. Have you not heard? Have you not heard that we're press?
But so press allowed into the ground, but then they have to do the chat with the DOR on Zoom.
I'm not doing that.
No.
Watch a game and go home. I mean, look, I'm watching it in a 9,000... I mean, for the first time in a long time, sale will not be sold out. So I will be able to have any seat that I want. And now, ironically, I don't think I'd be able to have any seat. Because of COVID, I don't think I'd be allowed in the empty stand. I'd have to be allocated a seat closer to people than I otherwise want to be.
Right.
So yes, I might be going to that if indeed I can get the press accreditation for it, and if it kind of makes sense.
So who are they playing?
Northampton.
Okay, so I'm going to go home win, 5 points.
No, so I completely agree. There is a little bit of spice to this because of the COVID fallout.
Oh yeah, that's a great point, Phil.
COVID cup.
Well, COVID ball.
Yeah.
It's not that spicy, is it? Because all they did is give the Northampton players what they really wanted, which is an extra week off.
No. Lewis Ludlam will be absolutely fuming.
He would if he wasn't with England.
But he'll get released to play, surely.
No, because they release their players, so Willis is back, and then they take Ludlam, unless they can release them again.
Oh, well, okay. So if Ludlam ends up playing, he will be absolutely fuming.
I mean, there is that.
Because he was one of the guys that tested positive and lost his spot in the England squad, and he's now watched Jack Willis come in and do really well.
Ah, yes, quite well. He's been picked up by England. But if he is released, I mean, he is the English Ardy Surveyor, in my mind. Very good player. Hopefully he won't have any part in this. Sadly, Niall will Courtney Laws. So they're missing two really good forwards there. I don't know if Sale are missing anyone. I do think Northampton are dangerous, really dangerous.
Yep.
They don't have Dan Bigger either. That'll be another one that's not in there. Who knows?
But Nick Ezekwe is one of the best pickups from last season. He looked great for Northampton. So
yeah, he did actually. Didn't he? Sale, please.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bonus
can't,
point.
Can't
bonus
see
point
anything.
Sale?
I think so. Unless the conditions are dreadful.
Yeah. In which case, it'll be a more convincing Sale win, but maybe not a bonus point win. Because I think they'll absolutely handle them in the rain. And also, historically, Sale have had a bloody brilliant scrum, no matter who they've had. And historically, Northampton last 2 years?
Yeah, not so much.
Not so much.
What's the other game on Friday? It's Harlequins, isn't it?
Quins, Exeter Chiefs.
Yeah. Quins, Exeter Chiefs. This is interesting, this. Exeter without Slade, without Noel, without Cowan Dickey, without Johnny Hill.
Yeah, so I went to this actual fixture. Is this away for... Sorry, is this at the Stoop?
Yes.
Yes.
Right, so I went to this fixture last year or the year before.
Exeter never play on a Friday night, do they, at home? I can't remember, because they play on Sundays quite a lot, but I never, ever remember Exeter playing on a Friday night.
That's a very good point. I can't say I remember it.
No.
Well, yeah, we'll come back to that one. Maybe not.
I don't think they have.
Just out of interest, what is your favourite slot to watch a game of rugby?
Friday night. Oh, no, we talked about it on the pod at the weekend. That Saturday, like 8 p.m. game is ace.
Yeah, the 8 p.m. game in the pub is ace.
In the pub is ace.
Yeah. To watch it in person, though.
To watch it in person. I like a Friday night because you just finish the week, you roll into the rugby, and then the rugby's... And then, like, that's done. And then you feel like you can just chill and just sit on the sofa and watch it.
Couldn't agree more. The Friday night games are the best by a country mile.
So I do like... particularly Six Nations, an early kick, going to the ground in an early kickoff Six Nations game, like a 12:30 or 1 o'clock.
Yes.
When you know you've got that, your day starts, your drinking starts a couple of hours before that, you've got the game, and then you get bedded into a pub and watch the other games in the afternoon and evening.
Funny enough, I don't think the Six Nations Friday night game is any good, but I do think the Premiership Friday night games are brilliant. Six Nations has to be done on a Saturday, generally speaking.
And I'm totally with Phil. If you go into the stadium, doing it first on a Super Saturday, being there live for the first game, and then just getting on it in a pub for the other two.
Yes. Agreed. So that means comprehensive Exeter victory. Oh, sorry, that's what I was going to say. So I went there for the game Exeter versus Harlequins. So it must be 2 years ago, because Ibatoya's debut. And I think Ibatoya scored and Harlequins won. I don't see it happening again, though.
Well, yeah, but there was that game towards the end of the season where I think it was a bit of Joe Simmons' magic towards the end, only just snuck Exeter through against Quins at the Stoop.
Yeah, I'm still going to go with Exeter, though. Bounce probability. I just think that these guys are Terminators.
The other problem that Exeter will have is, I mean... We were joking at the start of the pod about the season only finishing a few weeks ago. Yeah. The season really did only finish like 3 weeks ago for Exeter because of their successive finals, whereas Quins have had a bit more downtime. So there might be a bit of a hangover from that for Exeter.
Going to the well again for Exeter, having won it all, is going to be hard mentally.
Very tough. I would
be genuinely disappointed if most of the Exeter players are even sober.
Quite right, Phil. Yeah.
Well, I would.
What a year to like win everything! like when they're, you can imagine it in years to come. Grandpa, tell me about when you won the double. Well, yeah, we had a massive knees up in the dressing room, and then I sat at home playing Fortnite for the next 3 weeks.
We played locker room lock-in.
Yeah,
it's just nothing to do, is there? Yeah. Actually, now I'm thinking about it, I can't imagine how hard it is to raise my game for, you know, after winning two finals, to go and start all over again. But that's probably why I'm not a professional athlete. So, it's difficult. I wonder how Rob Baxter approaches this. I wonder if he looks at the rest of the squad as an opportunity for them to push the guys that have won the title. It's some clever manipulation strategy that these guys employ. I don't know.
I think this is harder to call than we would imagine for the reasons we've just explained.
Oh no, I'm definitely calling Exeter. I'm just wondering how hard it's going to be for Exeter. They're definitely going to win, but it's how much they win by, I guess.
I still do prefer Exeter, but I think this will be very close.
I wonder if Marchant will be available.
Well, Lang's not available.
No.
Marchant, if he is released, which I haven't heard that he is.
I might call it, and I'm going to call...
Marchant is not in the current England squad.
I'm going to say a narrow home win.
Wow. Couldn't disagree more. Saturday's games?
Yeah. Have you got them in front of you, Jay?
I can get them right now.
Newcastle.
Bath, Newcastle.
I can't see this going well one bit for Newcastle.
No, this will be a fairly handy Bath win.
this going to be an utter beatdown. I'm looking at Bath by 20 points.
And don't forget, Bath's last game was a 35-5 hammering against Exeter Chiefs. So they will want to correct that. They will want to put that right, and I think they will take it out on Newcastle.
Yeah, so they are missing Charlie Yules. And Valetta.
Are they? I thought Yules... No, Yules isn't in the squad. Yules has been released.
Oh, there you go. So they're not even missing Charlie Yules. They are missing Falatau. They've got so many players, it's fine. Yeah, Bath to grind Newcastle to dust. Utter dust. Leicester-Gloucester? Did we actually give a prediction on this one? Winnable for Leicester, but ultimately I think Gloucester will win.
This is key for Leicester's season. I mean, they've got, as we've said, they've got three... winnable games in their first four Premiership fixtures. I could actually see them coming out of those four fixtures with no wins.
Oh yeah, if they don't have a win in their first four, pile your money on. Go make a bet. Leicester's go down.
Mm. Yes, I think they're not going to have George Ford, are they?
Nope.
Because he's been. I was going to say he has been injured, but he is actually in the current England squad. So Leicester definitely won't have him.
Nope.
So yeah, give me Gloucester.
I would say Gloucester. Tim?
Gloucester.
Worcester London Irish is an interesting one.
This is your boys versus my boys.
Wow.
We get to see who was right about the better playing group or however you phrased it, JB.
The team with more players that you'd pick for your own 15 if you did it by schoolboy rugby is what I officially said.
Catchy,
yes, very catchy. Maybe we'll make that into an initial or something, an acronym. Right, London Irish, obviously.
Worcester, give me Worcester.
I'm going Irish.
There you go, Tim knows.
I've just got a soft spot. I can't
because they paid your brother's mortgage.
I admit my biases and I own them.
What do you think of London Irish's leadership group? Do you think that was
one thing that's worth mentioning? I've never seen that before, where a club have gone to their Twitter account and announced their core leadership group.
I think I have, you know.
Really? It's the sort of thing that happens within a club that you don't hear about. You announce the captain or the vice-captain.
No, I can't remember.
Here's our senior leadership group.
So when I saw that, I thought that reminds me of another club that have done that. And I'm sure I have seen it. But I'm trying to think. I can see it in my mind now, the actual image of the team that did it. And I can't remember who the hell it was.
To me, that's like going...
We have no leaders.
Here's our... To me, it's like going, here is our... corporate team building exercise list of things we did.
Here are four players that are nearly good enough to be captain. So who are the core leadership group?
Oh, I can't remember.
Paddy Jackson,
Blair Cowan.
Nick Phipps. And Matt Rogerson.
Who's Matt Rogerson, by the way?
Aussie number 8. That's slash right, blindside.
Yeah. He's definitely not English, no?
I don't think so.
No,
I thought he was Aussie. I've just looked him up and he's listed as English. Listed as being born in Lancaster.
Yeah. Same difference.
Like we said, English.
But I had it in my head that he was Australian.
That's why I asked it, because I don't know why I thought this. So, yeah, I thought he was English. And they've also got a centre who looks Australian, who is English. He was born in London.
Terence Hepatima?
Yes, him.
Hmm.
Yeah. So I'm going with, Irish. Irish with all four captains on the field to make good decisions.
Yeah. I'm going Irish.
Worcester, give me Worcester. Mm. And then on Sunday, we've got an interesting match, which is Wasps-Bristol.
Tasty, this one.
So this was the other semi-final, wasn't it? So Exeter beat Bath in one semi-final, first versus fourth,
yep.
And second played third, and Wasps, in the end, fairly handily put away Bristol.
Mm. They did.
So I'm going to say something now, which is, if there is a team that does not adapt, how would I say this? If there's a team that is intent on imposing their systems on you rather than adapting their systems to you is going to be Bristol. And I don't think Wasps are going to change much. I don't think Bristol are going to change much. And therefore, it leads me to conclude this might be a very similar outcome to last time that these teams, two teams met.
Now, Bristol are not going to have Semi Radradra, are
Why?
They? Randranda.
Oh, he's, yeah.
Because of the 29 out of 32 Fijian players who have sadly tested positive.
What? They go to Manchester University for a night out?
Just a team building exercise.
Crikey. That's a lot of positive tests.
Yeah, I hope they're all recover fine from this.
I do hope they're all well. My guess would be, I don't know, so it could be completely ignorant, but my guess would be 29 positive tests, zero symptoms between all of them.
Yeah, although...
So hopefully they're all right.
Yes,
yes, absolutely.
Quite. So, yeah, Wasps. Simple as that.
Yeah, Wasps at home. Wasps not hugely... neither team hugely disrupted by international call-ups. But, repeat of last time.
Agreed.
Agreed.
And that's it.
Yeah, that's
that
it.
Is it.
And also the Pro 12 play this weekend. So, Pro 4... Is it Pro 12 or Pro 14 now?
Pro 14.
Well, it's called the Pro 14, but there are only 12 teams playing in it because the South African teams are not.
That's the most Pro 14 thing.
That is amazing, isn't it? That is the most Pro 4. I mean, I was going to make a joke, but I don't need to make a joke. They made their own joke. Well done. Well done, guys.
And on that bombshell.
it is worth mentioning the Pro 14 or Pro 12 is now six rounds in. And there are three unbeaten teams, including Munster, Leinster, and my beloved Ulster, who remain unbeaten. So, well done, Ulster.
Do you care about that, Tim?
Of course I do, JB.
Yeah. That's great. That's awesome.
In fact, one of the games, I'm doing Ulster's first European match on the 11th of December against Toulouse.
Nice.
Yeah, wow. And then Munster as well that weekend. So, yeah, absolutely I care. I'm watching all of their games.
Yeah, me too.
No, I really am.
It's a fantastic competition which deserves equal respect. Right, there we go.
Right, he's at Jay Beardmore. I'm at Cocker. Phil's lurking. We're at Rugby Podcast on Twitter. Keep your eyes and ears peeled. I mean, JB mentioned it earlier, but it's never going to happen. You Lightning doesn't strike three times. You got Rob Baxter and you got Sir Ian McGeachin. You're not going to get David Flatman, so just shut up about it.
Yeah, I can't imagine
just talking about it. But on the very, very off chance that it were to happen, hit subscribe on the podcast feed. And if by some miracle that were to drop into the feed later this week, then, it'll automatically download itself to your phone, device, computer, whatever. Thank you very much for listening. Enjoy the rugby this weekend and let the boys play.
Let the boys play.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.